All right, welcome everybody. The Secret Smokies podcast. Yours truly, Earl Baldwin, the Greenback Wild Man. I'm tickled to death to have everybody tuning in and what have you. This is a very informal podcast. You're going to notice the poor quality and sound production and such and what have you. The reason for that is because I'm going to be honest with you. There's upper class, middle class, and lower class, and I am at the very peg of lower to middle class Americana, baby. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is I ain't got the money for a bunch of fancy sound equipment. So, starting this podcast off, I'm literally recording this on my cell phone. So, y'all just bear with me until I've got the money to put the sound recording studio together and really do this full regalia. Y'all just hang in there. How about that? How about them apples? Well, today I'm going to talk about a fruit that grows here in Appalachian America, the Smokies, that has fallen by the wayside. A lot of people in my age bracket do not even know what this fruit is. They don't even know it exists. If you ask them about it, they'll look at you with a question mark on their face. Even people that that grew up here. And we live in a slice of Americana here in Greenback, Tennessee, where I'm from, which is at the foot of the Smoky Mountains. Technically, it's the Chilhai Mountain Range, or the Chilhai Mountain Range. Most of the folks that have been here most people that have been here for more than one generation, how about that, are of Scotch-Irish Cherokee descent. So a mixture of Scotch, Irish, and Cherokee. There's some British folk here and about multiple generations. And back in those days, we step back generations, 1700s, 1800s. These people were very poor folk. So the Irish, a lot of them came, during the potato famine, as it were. Starving people coming in to America, and they settled here. Now, why did Scotch-Irish people settle here in eastern Tennessee in this mountainous region? Well, Highlanders in Scotland found it easy to live in the mountainous areas, big green mountains. That's what they're used to in Scotland, right? And Irish folks too were used to wetter weather, where they live, bogs everywhere, lots of really damp weather. So this made for folks that were hardy, and they were used to this kind of terrain. Now, naturally, when they came here, they would encounter the largest population of people that were already here. The very first peoples, the First Nations of this area, were the Cherokee, right? So, most folks that would have came here in that period would have met up with the Cherokee, and they often intermingled with and or interbred with, in my case, the Cherokee. So you ended up with Irish, English, Scottish people that were bred with Cherokee natives that were already here. Okay, so this fruit, back to the fruit that we're talking about is the pawpaw. And you're like, wait a minute, what? That's what we call our grandfather. No, not papaw. The pawpaw. And a pawpaw, if you haven't had one, it's pretty tasty, okay? It's like a poor man's banana. So, in the Appalachian region, the pawpaw's got a big old broad leaf. It's a tree that, it's a very crooked tree. You won't see, it kind of looks like when you see one for the first time, you're going to think, oh, well, this is probably where they get the lumber from that you see at Home Depot, right? Well, it's not, This is not the tree that you get that twisted up lumber that you find at Home Depot, but it looks pretty close. The tree grows in damper, darker kind of wet environments. It likes creeks. It likes lakes. It likes, you know, moisture. And it's a great tree. And I'll tell you something. When it does bear fruit, and the fruit, the riper it gets, the softer it gets to the touch, and the lighter green that it gets, it gets almost like a yellow green instead of just a straight up green. So if it's really hard when you pick it and really green, it's not going to be tasty. But if it's soft when you pick it and kind of a yellow green, that's the stuff right there. And the fruit itself, like the inside, almost is like a custard kind of deal. And it tastes very similar to, like I said earlier, like a banana. You can actually cut this thing in slices and throw a little salt on it and fry it in your lodge skillet backcountry. Very tasty. I've done it before. You don't want to put too much salt because it'll override the sweet. And you kind of want that sweet and salty blend. It's kind of going to give you, you know, like how kettle corn gives you the best of both worlds. It's going to kind of give you that. But I can remember when I was a boy, my grandfather, Roy Jacobs, he sent me out with a basket. And I was supposed to take the pawpaws and fill up the basket with it and bring it back. And he told me a story. When I got back to his house, he told me that when he was a boy, they were so poor that they had pawpaws, and that's what they had to eat. And they were happy to have them. It was like a blessing from the Lord that they had these pawpaws. So, nowadays, the fruit is, very few people know about it. When you get a chance, find you a quiet minute or two, sit down and, you like Google, I'm sure. Google or Wikipedia the pawpaw plant and learn about it. You can buy them as a tree and plant them in your yard. And I'm telling you what, it's a great little edible there. Edible fruit and a nice, pretty sturdy tree. So, there you have it. The pawpaw tree in the Appalachians, in the Great Smokies. I'm tickled to death that you've listened to my first. This is kind of a mini episode, just kind of a teaser to get you guys going on Smoky Mountain lore. I thank you for listening. God bless you. I love you. Tune in again. And the next episode, I promise, will be a little bit longer in content. But go eat a pawpaw sometime. Have at you.